the whole thing, so. Amen. You have your Bibles this morning, turn to Revelation chapter 7. And let's stand in honor of reading God's Word. We continue our preaching in the book of Revelation. Everybody there? Revelation 7, verse 1. And the Word says, after these things I saw four angels standing in the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth or on the sea. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning, and Lord, we praise you, and we honor you, and Lord, we love you. Father, we come into your house, Lord God, with praise and thanksgiving, Lord God, for you. Lord, I pray, God, as I answer your call, Lord God, to preach the gospel, Lord God, that I can stand back and get out of the way, Lord God, and you speak through me, use me as a mouthpiece unto your people, Lord God, and God, say what you want to say through me, Lord God, for your glory, Lord God, and Father, we thank you for your grace, for your mercy. Father, we do thank you for salvation today, Lord God, and we thank you for what you went through on that cross for us, Lord God, and that you rose again one day, Lord God, and one day you'll return. Father, I ask you that for one in here this morning, Lord God, that doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that they would listen to your word, Lord God, and do what it says, Lord, and I pray, God, that each and every one of us as Christians, Lord God, would do exactly what you want us to do, Lord God, in this day and time that we live, Lord. And Father, we give you the praise and give you the honor and give you the glory. In your precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, we've been going through the book of Revelations, and a lot of people don't think that the book, a lot of people think the book of Revelation is just a dream, another book that was added to the Bible that might not, there's been so many theologians and so many scholars have different theories on it and different beliefs on it to man has, like he's got away, the whole problem is man has got away from God, and a lot of the churches have got away from God, and they've gone to shows rather than doing what God's Word says, and they want to do everything but what God's Word says. And God has written this book, and this is our book of, I say all the time, it's like you get a manual when you buy a new car or a new truck, and you get a manual with it. And if you don't go by that manual, as far as the maintenance goes on that car or truck, it's not going to last as long as it's going to break down. But if you do what that book says, it's going to last. And if we do what this book says, from Genesis to Revelation, we're going to last for eternity. And thank God for salvation this morning. But we live in a day and time when man thinks that he is in control of everything. And I was studying this week, and I got to reading the Word, and Lord, what do I say? What do you want me to say about this? And he led me to this, is power. You ever saw can you believe the awesomeness of God's power this morning? If I were a preacher that titled my sermon, that would be God is awesome and God is powerful, because realize what the first verse says. Now, do a little background. We talked about the sixth seal last week, and there was a great earthquake, and the stars fell from the heaven like the figs fall from the fig tree. The moon and the sun was blackened. And all of these terrible things has happened. And it says that when this happens, that in the Bible, in the book of Matthew, it tells us that that day would be so bad that it never would be another day that bad. And we're at the middle of we're at the halfway point of the tribulation period of 7 years. And so God is looking down on the earth, and the angels are opening the seals, and judgment is being passed. And look what he does. And I've never noticed this before. I've taken it in school, or we went through it here on Wednesday nights. We've studied about it. But I'm always a slow learner. I always say that. You know, maybe some of y'all have already figured this out. But he says, after these things, after this earthquake, after all of these things bad has happened on the earth, after the kings of the earth, the rulers, the mighty men, all the way down to the slave, after they have run and hid and realized that God is in control, God comes in and he sends these angels. Remember, there's like 26 angels used in the book of Revelation. Every one of these angels are doing exactly what God said them. They're opening seals, they're passing at the wrath of God. But in this situation, God stops. Look what he says. He says, after these things, I saw four angels standing at the corners of the earth. Four angels, north, south, east, and west. And these angels, it says, holding the four winds of the earth. Not only the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth or the sea or on any tree. Imagine. We live in a world where mankind thinks that he is so awesome and so mighty and so powerful. I was looking at the news this morning. Every time I looked at the news, somebody said, I want justice. I want somebody to be held accountable. Well, God is fixing to, after we talk about this morning, he is fixing to give them justice. He is fixing to give them everything that they have asked for all these years. And the wrath of God is going to be poured out on those left behind like never has happened before. And he said, but look at the power of God. He sends angels to the four corners of the earth and stops the wind. They are scientists. They are meteorologists, weathermen. They try to figure out the weather every day. You know, used to, they would... A guy would be on television. First weatherman I ever saw, some of y'all might remember it, a few of us might, was a guy named George Reisner that come on Channel 2 out of Houston early in the morning on Saturday morning, and he'd give the agriculture report and he'd give the weather report. And ever since them days, man has tried to look at the weather and they forecast tornadoes and earthquakes, not earthquakes, but hurricanes and all the things is what it's going to do. And the later in time that it's got, the worse that they get, because they look at a computer, and not only do they look at their computer, if you pay attention to them, they say, this is what the American computer says, and this is what the European computer says. In other words, they don't know nothing. They are trying to control you and I and tell us. And sometimes they get it and sometimes they don't. Several years ago, there was a news weatherman in Houston called Doug Johnson. And everybody liked him. But there was an old man in Huntsville, Texas named Mr. Mack out of, he had a cow. And Doug Johnson and Mr. Mack Adam, they had a contest, and guess who won? Mr. Mack Adams won. Well, I tell you all this to tell you this morning that God is the only one that can stop weather. God can stop a hurricane in its track. God can stop an earthquake in its track. God can stop anything that he wants to. And the most powerful thing that God can do, he can stop sin in its track in your life. Just like he stopped it when he can stop sin in his track. And you know what? When he stops it, it's over with. It's done. It's paid for. God is telling these people in this powerful book of Revelation, he is telling them, he is showing them again how powerful he is. And he stops the wind. Boom. The wind stops. And it says, the Bible says, not only the wind and the sea, the wind and the trees. Can you imagine? No wind. You ever been somewhere where there was no wind, zero wind? Everything's real quiet. All this back up, all this earthquake and all these things have happened. And now God stops it. And you know why he stops it? Because of his people. We read on here in verse 2, and it says, "Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea." See, he had, remember, back a few verses, he commands these angels to unleash all the storms and all the things on the earth. Like I said, the earthquake, the moon, the sun, the stars falling, the islands moving out of place. And then he tells these angels, he sends words to them. "Again, I saw another angel ascending from the east, having a seal of the living God, and he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to him, 'Do not harm the earth or the sea.'" Stop. There's only one thing, and I'll say it again. I'm going to say it a lot this morning because God has led me to. God is the only one that can stop sin in your life. God is the only one that can do it. I hear so many people, and I didn't even know this sermon was going to go this way. I hear so many people say, "I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that." Now, let me tell you something. You cannot do nothing. "I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to quit drinking. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to do this." You cannot do nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and realize that with him you can do anything. My wife gets on to me all the time because I use myself as an example, because I have just about... I hadn't done it all, but I've done a lot that I shouldn't have done. And every situation that I have been in, I have tried and tried and tried and tried, and I couldn't quit. But the day that I figured out that God was in control, just like God is in control in these verses right here, the day that I figured that out and I gave it to God, God stopped it just like he stopped these winds right here. God will stop it. I have fought, I've told y'all my little deal about dipping snuff and all that kind of stuff. But every time that God takes something and stops it, he shows us something else. It's like the clay on the potter's wheel. If you stay in God's word and you stay in prayer, he continues to, you know, work on you on that wheel. And when one blemish is gone, he finds another, then you got to start all over. And you got to clean it up. And he shows me everything in my life. And there was a certain area in my life a couple weeks ago that continued to bother me. And the Holy Spirit continued to convict me of. And I said, "Lord," again, just like I did with the tobacco, "Lord, I cannot stop it. I can't do it. But I know you can." And when you tell him you can, and you believe it, if you line that brain up with that heart, with that word and with prayer, God will stop it. And I realized yesterday, I said, "You know what? He stopped it. He will stop it." And that is the power of God that we're talking about this morning. In this situation, he stopped the winds. And it may seem like I'm going to Revelation's back, but this is what God wants to show us this morning. He stopped the winds. He stopped the stuff that was happening to the earth. And I use that this morning, or gives it to me as an example this morning of how we are in our lives with sin. We are running wild with sin, half of us and half the churches and half the preachers. We're preaching a watered-down religion. We're preaching a feel-good religion. Preaching a religion that does not save. The only one that can save is Lord Jesus Christ. They leave half the Bible out. They read what they want to read and what fits them, and they don't want to do anything else. You got to give it all to God. And the God that I serve, the God that I believe in, the God that I hope that most of us believe in, will take it and he will stop it, and he will tell the angels of God, You know, angels have a lot to do in the Bible. You might not believe it. You study about angels. He tells his angels, stop it. You stop it. You stop old Glenn from doing that. You stop old Charlie from doing that. You stop it because he has given it to me and he stops it. Matter of fact, he stopped it when he died on that cross that day and he said, I'm finished. It's finished. He said, it's finished. It is finished. It is over with. It is done. But we continue to do it. We continue to take it. You see, we continue to do these sins and hoping God will forgive us. You know, I'm telling you, the God that we serve will take away that sin. He will stop that sin. And the only reason that you're being dogged, the only reason that you're being hampered, the only reason that your life is just in turmoil, because I know how sin can do you, is because you don't want to give it to God. But if you ever give it to God, just like these winds here, before he brings his people out of the book of Revelation, God will stop it right then and right there, and he will make sure that it stops. It's funny. I told you how I was, I don't know what sin of alcoholism or drugs or any some of that other stuff is, but you know, sin is it makes you a slave to it. And I was a slave to tobacco. And people say, well, ain't nothing to that. Well, if you can live with it, that's fine. If you can't, you know, you need to do something about it if God's convicted you. But I could not quit it. But the day that I give it to God, I never ever have even wanted again. That's what God can do. And God will stop that sin in your life. He will bring it to a stop. In this situation, his people, the tribes of Israel, over in Revelation chapter 6, we read the other day, on last Sunday, about the people that was in under the altar, and God, John was talking about it, and he said, as he opened that fifth seal, he said, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, and true until your judgment and your revenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth. And God told them, wait a little while, and issue them a white robe. That is exactly what God is doing with you and I when he saved our soul. He said, wait a little while, and He cleaned that smut, that sin in your life, the white as snow. He issued you that robe, and he said, wait a little while, put your faith in me. And that's exactly what God is doing to each and every one of us. He issued us, he gave us that contract, he gave us salvation, that white robe, the righteousness that only can be given by him. And then these people, he stops the wind, and verse 3 says, again, he says, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed. 144,000 of all tribes of children of Israel were sealed. The tribe of Judah, the tribe of Reuben, of Gad, the tribe of Asher, the tribe of Naphtali, the tribe of Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. These people were sealed. They were brought out of this tribulation period because all hell was fixing to break loose. It's fixing to break loose. And you know what? I keep on bouncing back. I hope you follow me. God's telling me this morning. These people were brought out. They were protected. When you and I was out there in sin, wallowing in the mud, like the prodigal son was wallowing in the mud with the pigs, God pulled him out of there and washed him off and picked him up, and we are saved, we are saved, we are saved. Because God saved us. These people are pulled out of that tribulation period because, I've already said, all hell is fixing to break loose. Things are fixing to get rough. God does not want his people to go through that. That's the reason it says in Matthew 24:23 that for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. He pulls them out. And all these tribes are saved. And after this, we've talked about it. Brother Calvin Botar and I talked about it. And I'm talking about in here salvation. I'm talking about God's people that he brought out to stop the harm coming to them. Even here he tells, and there's so many times in the book of Revelation, things are going all to pieces and God stops. He tells them, you know, don't hurt the trees, don't hurt the water, don't do it, because I'm going to bring my people out before that happens. And what I'm getting at, as I have studied the book of Revelation, as I went through it in class, I went through it here, I went through it other church that I pastored, every time I go through it, I get more out of it, and I become, you know, I don't want to say wishy-washy, but my belief kind of changes because I see the awesomeness and the power of God. You see, God don't make any mistakes, and God is awesome, and God is powerful, and God wants you to know, hey, this is the book. This is the way it's going to happen. It don't make any difference what the President of the United States says. It don't make any difference what they vote on up there in Washington, D.C., today. It don't make any difference what the gay community says, what the, you name it, the world order says. It don't make any difference. What makes a difference, and the only one that can stop any of this, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he gets ready to stop it, he will stop it. When he gets ready to, when you get ready to give him your life, he will stop sin in your life and it's dead in its track. Just like that. Right then. But you people have got to this time that you and I stand up for God. To heck with all this up. It is time that we stand up for God, that we as his people stand up. He said, if my people are humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal their land. If we stop right now and we get on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ, God will stop. He will protect you, he will guide you, and he will direct you, and he will keep you from this mess harming you. But if you keep on, and you keep on saying no, he's going to slam a door in your face one day, and that's going to be all of it. That's going to be it. You say God loves people to the take their last breath. He does. But God also says that if you harden your heart, if you continue to live that way, he will turn you over to a reprobate mind. He'll turn you over to it if that's what you want, because he's offered it to you. God says, I love you. He loved you enough to send his son to that cross to die. He loved you enough that Jesus was beaten and tattered and torn. His ribs, his flesh was ripped. His bones could be seen from his back. He was beaten. He was tarnished. He was all of that for you. He was a spotless lamb. He was white as snow. He went to that cross with your sin. He didn't do anything. And we sat here and we play church. A lot of churches just, you know, they have turned over to, well, if it'll bother, Mr. So-and-so in here gives $1,000 a month to the church, and he lives like this, but that's okay. We ain't going to say that. He gives $1,000 to the church. We're going to have this concert here. They do a little bit of worldly music, and they, you know, they don't say some things, but that's okay. Because we'll draw a lot of people here. People, you know what God died for? Each and every one of us. He don't care. People tell me all every day, every week, I'm just not coming to church because old so-and-so just don't like me. And I tell them, you don't come to church for people. You come to church for God. And that same God that I'm talking about to stop the wind, that one day is going to seal all this and shut it all up, loves you this morning. He wants you to be saved. And if old so-and-so bothers you, God told us to go to them and talk to them about it. But there's people everywhere that just, churches everywhere, and these, they call themselves theologians, and they call themselves preachers, and they call themselves pastors, that stand before people every day, and they don't realize that they are going to be judged worse than those who don't know no better. See, God holds us that teach and preach in a higher standard, and He wants us to do what He said do and not what you want to do. And we live in a world where people do what they want to do. And it is time, people. It is time. I'll say this over and over again. I've said it the last several months. It is time that we, the people of God, stand up and tell these people dead to their face that they're wrong. And maybe by that, if you tell them wrong, you, and Jesus Christ in control, you have planted a seed. You see, God holds the winds of judgment in His hand. And one day, and I can't help but believe that day is coming soon, one day, if you don't make that choice, one day, He said every knee is going to bend. Every head is going to bow, and every mouth is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Just like, go back to Revelation 6:15, it says, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, the slave, every free man, hid themselves in the caves and the rocks and the mountain. And they said, mountain, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne of God, from the wrath of the Lamb. Where do you want to be? Where do you want to be? Do you want to be one of those that say, well, you know, the Holy Spirit, I knew that I went to church and I was trying to do right, and the preacher said if I just done this or done that, I'd be okay, and I thought I was, but it's going to be too late. Let me tell you something. If the preacher is not preaching what the Word of God says, you need to find another preacher. Amen. If the church is not teaching the Word of God, you need to find another church. And if I, as your pastor, ever say anything to you that you don't understand or that you think is wrong, you come and tell me, please. Don't run off mad or puffed up or however you want. You come and let's talk about it. Because I'm trying to get there just like you are. Amen? And my God is strong enough and powerful enough that He can take the wind of the earth, the water in the sea, the trees, the stars. He can make the stars fall like figs falling from a tree. He can cover the light of the moon. He can take the islands and move them from place to place. Who would you want to serve? You want to serve some of these people that are so-so? Some of these people that say, you know, like all they do is try to convince you that their way is best. There's no other person, no other thing, nothing that you can put your faith and trust in more powerful than the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you. There was a investment company several years ago, the E.F. Hutton. Remember they said when E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody stops and listens. When God speaks, one day, everybody's going to listen. Everybody's going to see. Everybody's going to know. But God in this chapter was pulling His people out of that great tribulation because things is fixing to get rough. The great multitude. It was a multitude of people brought out of the great tribulation. And God, you know what I'm looking for? In Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is talking in verse 8, he says, finally, there is laid up Well, let me back up. Verse 7. I fought a good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the judge, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved him in his appearing. God has a crown of righteousness for us people. This world does not have anything. You are not going to leave this world with nothing. It's okay to live a good life. It's okay you got to be a good Christian. You got to be a good Christian. You got to be a good person, but you got to be a good saved person, because I've always said, hey, there's going to be a whole lot of good people in hell. And there's going to be a whole lot of us that wasn't fit for nothing that God saved, and we're going to be in heaven. God loves you this morning. God gave his son to die on that cross for you. Do you see the power of God? You know, we talk about stopping. About stopping those earthquakes and those storms and those things. But you know what? I don't care how many times these weathermen and geologists and meteorologists, they try to figure out how to, they can't do it. All they can do is trick you. All they can do is lie to you. All the government is going to do to you is lie to you for the almighty dollar. All the health situations in our country, all they're going to do is lie to you and try to keep you scared to death. You know who you need to fear today? Only one thing. God. To fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. When you realize that, yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is in control and you let him have your life, then your life will change. And I'm not going to tell you like the TV preacher tell you. You're going to go home and going to be a Cadillac sitting in your garage, and all your bills are going to be paid, and people are going to drop by and give you money. No. It is a long process, but I will tell you this morning, if you do what Matthew 6:33 says and seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, that means put him first before you eat, before you start your day, when you go to sleep at night, when you go to buy a car, when you go to buy a house, when you tithe your check to the church, and put him first in everything that you do. My wife and I, when we pull out of the driveway, before we get on the highway, we pray. We pray at night because we need God to protect us, and we learned a long time ago, here I go again, John, that if you put God first, God will bless you and bless you and bless you, and there will be things happen in your life that you can't believe. You know why? Because it's the awesomeness and the power of God. It's the power of God. I told y'all a couple weeks ago, I don't know why, God, I'm going to tell you one more time. The awesomeness of God. I could tell you 1,000 things that happened in my life, but God is an awesome God. God is a powerful God. God is a God that loves his children. You put God first in your life. When you get that check that you're going to get this month, whether it's a government check or you work somewhere, if you'll take 10% of it and give it to God, he will bless you. Joan and I first started right there in that church house. I told y'all this. I'm going to tell you again this morning. I don't know why God wants you to hear it. We started right there in that church house. And we had decided that we had just been married. We've been married about, 74. We'll be married 48 years next week. But anyway, we had decided our baby was about, first child was about 6 months old, and we decided that we need to start paying tithes to the church. Our tithes for that month was $97.50. That was $95.50. That was a lot of money back then. And I remember as they passed the plates over in the old church, Jonah Pope Minister said, I said, put it in there. We didn't have nothing. Now we had how many? We wasn't dying. But there, we didn't hardly have the money to go to work. I went to work at the wind farm the next morning at 3:45. When I got home at 1:45, she said, come here and sit down on this couch. You're not going to believe this. We got a check from the IRS for $1,095.50. And from that day forward, I mean, that was like God proved how powerful he was. God proved to us that he is in control. And from that day forward, we have put God first in everything that we have done. And he has done nothing but bless us. I'm not saying, look at me this morning. Do you want to have peace in your life? Do you want to have blessings in your life? I mean, we have raised 3 kids. We got 11 or 12 grandkids. We have done 1 snag and all that, but God has blessed us. None of them has ever been. God has just blessed us. And he will bless you. And God will do things in your life that you cannot believe. That's awesome. That's powerful. But you know what all this pours down to? You got to put God first. You can't just say, I'm going to do this. So many people say, I need to start coming to church. I'm going to start coming. Church is just, you know, church is part of it. But you know what? 99.9% of you that tell me I'm going to start coming to church come about 3 times and miss. Jesus says, don't forsake getting ourselves together. That's one of his. It's okay to go on vacation. It's okay to do this, but when we do what the world wants you to do instead of going to church, it's a different story. I got another story. I'm going to shut up after a while. When I was pastoring Millican Baptist Church in Millican, all the guys every deer season, I'd stay on them. I'd preach to them, you know, you need to go to church, then go deer hunting. And they'd come back to church and they'd been gone a week. And did you kill him? No, I didn't kill nothing. I would take the kids to school. They got to school about 8 o'clock. And I would go by the donut place and get me some coffee and a donut, and I would go to my daddy-in-law's place over in B-Dies and sit in a tree and drink my coffee and eat my donut, and I killed more deer than any of them did. That ain't no coincidence. That was God. That was God. God will bless you as long as you do what he says do. Don't get me wrong. None of us are perfect. I'm not perfect. I fall every day. Where I'll fall before I walk out that door. But God has got us. If God can control the wind, don't you think he can control? He looks down there from heaven. You're just a little old speck. He's got all of us in his hand. If we'll just give him our life. If we will just, don't worry about the monkey pox and the chicken pox and the mumps and the coronavirus and all this. Don't let it worry you. God's got you in his hand. Even if you get it, God's got you. Amen. I told our precious friend in Conroe the other day that, you know, they've done everything they can do with her for cancer. But she knows God's got her. Brother Keith Allen was here yesterday at our prayer breakfast. And he just stood up and he said, I just want y'all to know I'm all right. It don't make any difference. You see, because remember what else God has done? God defeated death, hell, grave. We're his. When I walk out of here, and Brother Keith knows, and our friend Barbara knows, when they walk out of here, they're walking into paradise. That's what God can do for you. God not only wants to bless you here, God wants to bless you for eternity. Amen. Father God, we come to you this morning. We praise you and we honor you and we love you. We lift up your name above every name and everything, Lord, and we praise you and we honor you. Lord, I thank you this morning for the families that are here, Lord God, and the people that are here. And I pray, Lord God, that right now, that as we stand all over this house, and Sister Ruth plays this hymn of invitation, Lord God, that every Christian that's in this place would get down here on their knees and let's start right here this morning. Start that fire burning in this church and in this community. Get down on our knees and pray. And ask you, Lord God, to come into our lives and give you our lives, Lord. And God, if there's one here that doesn't know you, I pray, God, that right now that they'd come down here and they'd get on their knees before awesome God. And there's not no bunch of words that they got to say, Lord, because you told us you already know the things that we need. God, I pray they just, instead of coming to me, Lord God, just get on their knees and say, Lord, I messed up. I know that you're the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I know that you died on that cross, you rose from that grave, that you're going to come again someday and get me. And I want my name to be in that book. Because if my name is in that book, Lord, I don't have to worry about any of these things that Brother Glenn said because I'm going to be with you. And Father, we pray right now. I ask your blessings on this service, Lord God. I pray right now that your people would come and get on their knees and pray to you just a few moments, Lord. And we give you the praise, we give you the honor, we give you the glory, Lord. Bless this day. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.